Fox is doing fine. It's Cub time.
It's the Stanley Cup playoffs on Fox. The Broadway Blue Shirts take their 3-1 lead into Quebec, hoping to close down Le Nordique. The Rangers have awakened from their long winter hibernation, and it looks like Mess, Leach, Graves, and Larmer will have plenty left from their season-long nap. But Quebec still has some pop. Ugh. Just ask Jeff Bookaboo. Joe Sakic, Wendell Clark, and the rest of them Nords may be packing for Denver, looking for a little Rocky Mountain high.
It's Cub time.
Detroit's got a 3-0 lead, and it's time for another road trip down to the Big D. And the Red Wings are trying to shoot out the lights down in the Lone Star State. Sergei's got something to say. The engine's running just fine this year. Dallas's Andy Moog will be stopping as many bullets as he can, but he'll need a lot of help from Hatcher and Harvey if those Stars are going to live to fight another day.
It's Cub time.
Washington rolls into Steel Town, looking to inflict capital punishment on the Penguins. Peter Bondra and Dale Hunter are putting holes in the igloo because it's duck season. Penguin season.
It's Cub time.
Jaromir Jagr. Jaromir Jagr. You know, the dude with the cool name. He ain't doing fine. He's hoping his birds can still fly. But Jim Carrey's looking to keep Jagr's Penguins on ice for year number 2.
It's Cub time.
Bummed out Buffalo returns to Philadelphia, desperately fighting off playoff elimination. The Sabres need the Dominator to live up to his name. And to stay alive, they'll need McGillney and LaFontaine to light the Legion's lamp.
Let's get something straight. Jean-Claude Van Damme is one of the greatest action stars of all time. The man has split-kicked his way through the 80s and 90s, fought in underground death tournaments, saved hostages, traveled through time, and yes, he once played himself fighting his own clone. But today, we're talking about the forgotten JCVD banger, the one where he single-handedly takes on terrorists during Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals. That's right, it's sudden death. Also known as Die Hard on Ice. A movie that dares to ask the question, what if Jean-Claude Van Damme had to be an action hero and an NHL goalie at the same time? You've got explosions. You've got a Zamboni chase. You've got Powers Booth doing evil guy monologues. And most importantly, you've got Jean-Claude Van Damme fighting a killer mascot in a brutal kitchen fight. If that doesn't sound like a must-watch, then I don't know what to tell you. So grab a cold one. Lace up your skates and get ready, because we are diving deep into the beautiful, absurd, high-kicking chaos that is sudden death.
As we get ready for the seventh and final game of the Stanley Cup Finals, you can feel the electricity of the air, and there's no question, it just sends a chill up your spine, Paul.
That's a fact, Mike. And to make things even more exciting, the Vice President of the United States is here this evening.
Don't leave your seats.
Look too good.
911 emergency services.
I'm calling you from the Civic Arena.
The vice president is being held hostage in the owner's box. And they've got my daughter too.
What is your objective?
$1,700,000,000.
We're still evaluating the situation.
They want money. A lot of it. Give it to them.
Do not try any kind of rescue. Do you understand me?
If you're not gonna pay, say so. I'll get my daughter.
When the game ends, everyone in this box and in this arena will die by explosion, fire, and panic.
Tonight, 17,000 hockey fans have been taken hostage.
Enough bombs have been planted in this building to stop all the clocks in the hemisphere.
But only one of them knows it.
I'm going to try to stop you.
I know where the bombs are, so I know where you're going.
Then come and get me.
We are going to do this by the numbers.
What number was that?
Now he has more to lose than anyone.
I said, no vehicles on the grounds, no helicopters in the air. What part of that did you not understand?
Jean-Claude Van Damme. Powers boost. Sudden death.
All right, let's set the stage here. It's 1995. Jean-Claude Van Damme is at the peak of his career. He's roundhouse kicked his way through Bloodsport, Kickboxer, Double Impact, where he literally plays his own twin, and Time Cop, which somehow is the highest grossing Van Damme movie, even though it involves zero splits on countertops. He even guest stars on the TV show Friends. And Hollywood? Hollywood is still riding high off Die Hard, because when Die Hard dropped in 88, it didn't just make Bruce Willis an action star, it reprogrammed Hollywood's entire brain. They looked at that movie and said, oh, you mean we can just take one guy, put him in one location, and throw a bunch of bad guys at him for 2 hours? Print money. And that is how we got one of the greatest action movie subgenres of all time, Die Hard on a blank. Now, we all know the original, Die Hard in a skyscraper. Simple, clean, elegant. But from there, Hollywood went feral. They started slapping Die Hard onto everything. Picture some producer in 1990 pacing around his office in a cocaine-fueled panic yelling, we need a new action movie. Something big. Something fresh. What if we did Die Hard, but on a boat? Genius, get Segel on the phone. And boom, Under Siege was born. But they didn't stop there. Oh, no. Once the floodgates opened, Hollywood turned everything into a Die Hard scenario. Let's run it down, shall we? Die Hard on a bus. Speed. Keanu Reeves versus Dennis Hopper on a bomb-rigged bus. Peak cinema. Die Hard on a plane. Passenger 57. Wesley Snipes fighting terrorists at 30,000 feet. Legendary. Die Hard on a boat under siege. Steven Seagal pretending he can cook while roundhouse kicking Tommy Lee Jones. Die Hard on a train, Under Siege 2, Dark Territory, because apparently boats weren't claustrophobic enough. Die Hard in a boarding school, toy soldiers. Terrorists take over a school, but the students fight back. Think Home Alone, but with automatic weapons. Die Hard in a hockey arena, sudden death, which brings us to tonight's feature presentation. Die Hard in the White House, Olympus has fallen. Because I guess Air Force One wasn't good enough? Die Hard in a mall, Paul Blart, Mall Cop. Yes, this technically counts. And my personal favorite, Die Hard in Space, Lockout. This one is such a Die Hard ripoff that John McTiernan himself probably broke out in hives watching it. Guy Pearce plays a wisecracking, tank-top-wearing hero. There's terrorists, hostages, one-liners. It's Die Hard with zero shame. And that's just scratching the surface. They even did a reverse Die Hard, where instead of one hero taking on terrorists in a lockdown location, we get the opposite. Die Hard in reverse. The Rock. Where the good guys infiltrate the bad guys' fortress. And since it's Nicolas Cage and Sean Connery, it's an instant classic. But sudden death? Oh, sudden death takes the trophy. Because this movie doesn't just do Die Hard in a hockey arena. No, no, no. It leans in. It fully commits. It drags us kicking and screaming onto the ice and makes us love it. Because where else are you going to see Jean-Claude Van Damme fighting a terrorist in a full-body penguin mascot suit? Van Damme sneaking onto the ice mid-game, putting on goalie pads, and making a game-winning save? Powers Booth, giving a straight-up Bond villain performance, complete with snarky one-liners and total disregard for human life? This movie doesn't care if you think it's ridiculous. It knows it's ridiculous. It thrives in the ridiculous. And that, my friends, is why it rules. All right, let's talk about Jean-Claude Van Damme's character in this movie, Darren McCord. First of all, what a boring name. You've got an action hero played by Jean-Claude freaking Van Damme, and you name him Darren? That's the name of a guy who manages an auto zone, not a man who's about to single-handedly fight a squad of terrorists while wearing hockey pads. But anyway, Darren is a former firefighter who, brace yourself, has a tragic backstory. Because it's the 90s, and every action hero needs some past trauma to justify why they're about to go full murder mode on bad guys. And in sudden death, that tragedy is he failed to save a little girl in a house fire, and it ruined his life. Like, completely ruined it. He lost his confidence, he quit firefighting, and now he's working as a fire marshal in a hockey arena, trying to pick up the pieces. And listen, I get it. Firefighting is rough. Trauma is real. But the way this movie frames it, you'd think this man personally set the fire himself and then failed to save the entire population of Pittsburgh. And now, I can't stop thinking about what Bloodsport would have been like if it had a full-blown JCVD tragic backstory. Imagine if, instead of just entering the Kumite to prove himself, we got an extra hour of dead brother flashbacks and a deathbed promise. Promise me, Frank, you'll win the Kumite for me. I swear, little brother, on my honor, I will split kick for you. And now every time he does a flying roundhouse kick, we get a slow motion flashback of his dead brother being like, "You can do it, Frank." Sudden death is that, but with hockey. Because at its core, this movie isn't just Die Hard on ice. It's Van Damme, sad dad on ice. So now that we've established that Darren McCord is the saddest firefighter in Pittsburgh, let's get into the real reason we're here. Jean-Claude Van Damme kicking terrorists in the face while wearing skates. This movie gets me so worked up, I won't even give you my 10-minute breakdown of the time Jean-Claude Van Damme guest starred as himself on Friends, because that's how big he was at this time. But now we think of him living in reruns of these movies or direct-to-video purgatory.
Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. What? Jean-Claude Van Damme. I didn't know he was in this movie. He's so hot.
All right, let's break this thing down scene by scene. Because Sudden Death is a movie that fully commits to its insanity. You want Die Hard in a hockey arena? This movie says, hell yeah, let's do that and also make it weirder. We open with a flashback because, as we've established, Jean-Claude Van Damme's character must have a tragic backstory. Our guy, Darren McCord, whose name I refuse to believe belongs to an action hero, is a firefighter on the job, and oh no, disaster strikes. He fails to save a little girl from a burning building, and it destroys him. He quits firefighting, spirals into self-loathing, and now he's just a sad dad working security at a hockey arena. Classic 90s action dad energy. I used to be a hero. Now I check fire exits for a living. To make it up to his kids, because of course he's also a divorced dad with custody issues, he takes them to game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals. Pause. We need to talk about how weird this is. Because first of all, this movie expects us to believe that the Vice President of the United States is spending his night watching Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals in Pittsburgh instead of, you know, being number 2 in the country. Who is this VP? This man has nuclear launch codes, and he's just chilling in a skybox eating nachos. Making it Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals is the most needlessly complicated way to add urgency to a plot that already has bombs in the building. Like, it's already Die Hard in a hockey arena. That's enough. But no, they had to say, what if it's also the most important hockey game of the year? What happens if the game ends early? What if it goes into overtime? What if the Penguins get blown out 7-0 and the crowd starts leaving? We rigged the entire arena to explode, but only at the final buzzer of Game 7, assuming it doesn't go into double overtime. Absolutely incredible. Enter Powers Booth, aka the perfect villain. Now let's talk about our bad guy, Powers Booth. First of all, his name is Powers Booth. This man was destined to play villains. You don't name your kid Powers Booth and expect him to become, like, a friendly mailman. No, that is a professional villain name. That is the name of a man who wears expensive suits and monologues about power, and that's exactly what he does here. Booth plays Joshua Foss, elite terrorist slash mastermind who takes the vice president hostage and demands a ridiculous amount of money. This man walks into the VIP skybox like he owns the place, casually drops that he's rigged the entire arena with explosives, and delivers an Oscar-worthy evil monologue with the perfect amount of smugness. Good evening, Mr. Vice President. I hope you're enjoying the game, because if I don't get my money, it's going to be sudden death for all of us. This man is chomping on scenery. He is chewing the hell out of every line. It is beautiful. So now we've got terrorists in the skybox, bombs planted all over the arena, and our sad dad action hero just happens to be the only guy who can stop them. Classic. And then JCVD goes full hockey ninja. Darren McCord quickly figures out something is wrong, and the movie wastes no time before getting to the best fight in the whole film. Jean-Claude Van Damme versus a terrorist in a full-body penguin mascot suit. You heard that right. JCVD gets ambushed in the arena's kitchen by a goon dressed as Iceberg, the Pittsburgh Penguins mascot. And instead of just like pulling off the mascot head, this movie says, nope, we are doing a full kitchen-based martial arts fight with a guy in a giant fluffy penguin suit. We're talking knives, hot grease, a deep fryer, Van Damme suplexing a giant bird, and the fight ends exactly how you hope it does, with JCVD slamming the mascot's head into an industrial dishwasher and setting it to scalding. This is cinema. And when you think it can't get even more crazy, there's hockey action heroics. After taking out a few more goons, JCVD realizes the terrorists might recognize him so naturally. His solution is to disguise himself as a goalie and go on to the ice mid-game. Yes, Jean-Claude Van Damme puts on goalie pads and steps into the Stanley Cup Finals like he belongs there. And the best part? Nobody questions it. The announcers just go, huh, guess we got a new goalie, while Van Damme blocks slap shots like his life depends on it, which, technically, it does. Where's that on your bingo card? Powers Booth decides it's time to bail. He grabs the vice president and heads to a waiting helicopter, which is obviously parked inside the arena. Van Damme, having fought approximately 12 goons at this point, including one on top of a Zamboni, chases after him, and what does he do? He blows up the helicopter inside the arena. Like right there, just boom. Hockey fans still watching? Doesn't matter. Ice rink integrity? Doesn't matter. All that matters is that the terrorist is dead. Van Damme's kids are safe. And suddenly, his tragic backstory is magically resolved. You know, I have to ask, did Michael Scott rip off this movie when he made Threat Level Midnight? Think about it. Both movies have an over-the-top action hero. Jean-Claude Van Damme versus Michael Scarn. Both movies feature a hockey game that somehow becomes a life-or-death situation. Both movies have ridiculous stakes involving high-profile political figures. The vice president here, the president in Threat Level Midnight. And both feature absolutely bonkers action scenes that make no sense but are played completely straight. I mean, let's be honest, if Threat Level Midnight had the budget, Michael Scarn would have 100% fought a guy in a mascot suit, and you know he would have said something like, looks like this bird just got cooked. Clean up on aisle. Dead. And honestly, I think Threat Level Midnight might have more realistic hockey action than Sudden Death, because at least that movie doesn't expect us to believe Jean-Claude Van Damme can just step onto the ice mid-Stanley Cup final and no one notices. So yeah, Sudden Death walked so Threat Level Midnight could run. See, why binge watch The Office for the 87th time when you could be watching 90s action movies?
What the hell are you doing?
Finishing my game?
No. You promised me breakfast.
Breakfast? Breakfast, shmreakfast. Look at the score, for God's sake. I'm only in the middle of the second and I'm winning 12-2. Breakfast come and go, Renee. Now Hartford, the Whale. Hey, they only beat Vancouver once, maybe twice in a lifetime.
Now, here's something you might not know. The hockey scenes in this movie are legit. Instead of using fake teams or made-up footage, Sudden Death actually got the real Pittsburgh Penguins to appear in the movie. Not only that, but they used real game footage from actual Stanley Cup Finals games. So when you're watching the hockey action, that's real. Those are real NHL players skating around while off-camera, Jean-Claude Van Damme is suplexing a terrorist in a storage closet. And somehow, the NHL signed off on this. This is the equivalent of the NFL agreeing to let Jason Statham roundhouse kick bad guys on the actual Super Bowl field. And honestly, I think we should do this more often. We'll be right back after these messages.
You use whatever it takes. Leather, lumber, steel, even the cage. NHL 94 for Sega Genesis and Super NES. One-timers, goalie control, and goalies out of control. If it's in the game, EA Sports. It's in the game.
Okay, we need to talk about great villains. Because sudden death doesn't just give us a solid Jean-Claude Van Damme action movie, it gives us Powers Booth at his absolute villainous peak. This man chews through every scene like he's savoring a $500 steak. The smarm, the arrogance, the effortless evil. He's not just a bad guy. He's an operator. He's 10 steps ahead, and he knows it. And the whole time, he's having the time of his goddamn life. And that got me thinking, we need a Rewind or Die Villains Hall of Fame. Because some actors don't just play villains. They become cinematic evil incarnate. First inductee, Ben Gazzara in Roadhouse. This man is having a blast. Just straight up murdering people while casually talking about bringing a JCPenney to town. Like, imagine being so evil that your master plan isn't just to control the town, but to gentrify it with a mall chain. The absolute audacity. The pettiness. And he's doing it all while leaning back in his chair like he's already won the movie. Then we've got John Lithgow in Cliffhanger. This is Shakespearean-level villainy. Lithgow is playing this like he's in Hamlet, but with a machine gun and a body count. Every line delivery is so juicy, you just know he walked off set every day knowing he owned that movie. And of course, the king. Alan Rickman in Die Hard. Do I even have to explain? Hans Gruber is the blueprint. He's the gold standard. He's charming. He's brilliant. He's ruthless. And he steals every second of that film. And let's not forget, Rickman invented modern action movie villainy. Every bad guy after 1988 was just trying to be him. But we're just getting started. This Hall of Fame is going to be stacked. We've got Gary Busey in Lethal Weapon, Dennis Hopper in Speed, Tommy Lee Jones in Under Siege. Hell, I'll throw in Tommy Lee Jones in Batman Forever just for the insanity of it. We've got Michael Wincott in The Crow. James Woods in Any Given Sunday because that man just exudes slime. And Kurtwood Smith in RoboCop, who might be the most underrated villain of all time. Great villains make great movies. They are the secret sauce. And if I had my way, every action movie would feature a villain who knows exactly what kind of movie they're in and plays to the goddamn rafters. Welcome to the Rewind or Die Villains Hall of Fame.
Please, he needs a doctor.
Rodney Moore, go ahead. Dead heroes get the best funerals. Thanks for your help, Andrew. His wife's recently deceased. He'd have been lonely without her. I hope that clarifies the urgency of this mission. Only your best behavior is going to be good enough.
That agent's name was Eddie Kaline. He has a 5-year-old boy, a 3-year-old little girl, and his wife's pregnant.
I'll send a card.
What do you want?
What do I want? World peace, an end to bigotry, and no more mini-malls.
Now. Real talk, would they even make this movie today? Absolutely not. Not even close. The Hollywood of 2025 is way too afraid to make something this dumb, this glorious, this fully committed to hockey-based terrorism. Let's break down why. The premise alone would get you laughed out of the room. Picture this. Some screenwriter today walks into a studio pitch meeting and says, "All right, guys, so I've got an idea. It's Die Hard, but in a hockey arena during the Stanley Cup Finals, and JCVD plays a disgraced firefighter who has to fight terrorists while also suiting up as an NHL goalie. That exec is hitting the do not green light button before that pitch even finishes. Why? Because Hollywood doesn't make these kinds of mid-budget action movies anymore. Back in the 90s, you had an entire ecosystem of movies made for adults who just wanted explosions, one-liners, and martial arts fights in weird locations. I know I'm getting repetitive, but movies like Under Siege, Die Hard on a Boat, Passenger 57, Die Hard on a Plane, Speed, Die Hard on a Bus, Sudden Death, Die Hard in a Hockey Arena. Today, that entire market is dead. Hollywood just has two settings now, 250 million superhero blockbusters, or tiny indie dramas about people staring sadly into the distance. There is no room for a $50 million action movie where JCVD fights a terrorist penguin. And that's a tragedy. The villain would have to be more relatable. Look, Powers Booth is a perfect villain because he's just evil for the sake of being evil. He doesn't have a tragic backstory. He's not misunderstood. He's not doing this for his sick daughter who needs surgery. This man just wants money, and he's fully committed to murder if he doesn't get it. You try to pitch this villain today, and some studio exec is going to say, okay, but what if the villain had a redemption arc? Like, what if he was radicalized by the system failing him? And maybe he's actually the good guy, but society just doesn't understand him. No, I do not want a villain I have to sympathize with. I want Powers Booth, sipping wine, blowing up buildings, and monologuing to the vice president about capitalism while hockey fans just keep watching the game like nothing's happening. The NHL would never approve this today. The fact that the NHL signed off on this in 1995 is insane. Can you imagine today's NHL letting a major motion picture depict a full-scale terrorist attack on an arena? Explosions going off while a game is still being played? An NHL goalie getting knocked unconscious and replaced by Van Damme, who then actually blocks a game-winning shot? Yeah, that's a hard no from every corporate lawyer in America. Today, they'd be worried about brand safety and optics and not associating hockey with large-scale hostage situations. Back in the 90s, someone in the NHL probably said, sure, why not? Just don't mess up the logo. The goalie scene alone would break the internet. If Sudden Death got made today the second Van Damme stepped onto the ice as an NHL goalie, Twitter would implode. Imagine the tweets. Did I just see JCVD suit up as an NHL goalie and actually block a shot? Did Van Damme just play in the Stanley Cup Finals like it's totally normal? The NHL just allowed a random man onto the ice and no one questioned it? Are there no rules in this game? And you know some sports nerd on ESPN would run an in-depth breakdown of how Van Damme's goalie form was actually terrible, followed by a 20-minute debate on First Take about whether JCVD could realistically play in the NHL. Well, if ESPN cared about hockey anyway, the discourse would be unbearable. Hollywood has forgotten how to have fun. The biggest reason this movie wouldn't get made today? Hollywood doesn't know how to have fun anymore. Back in the 80s and 90s, action movies were just as ridiculous as today's blockbusters, but they weren't afraid to embrace it. They said, yeah, let's have a martial artist fight a mascot. Sure, let's put Van Damme on skates and have him make a game-saving stop. Of course, we'll blow up a helicopter inside a stadium. Today? Every action movie needs to be gritty or self-aware or have some serious emotional depth. If Sudden Death was made now, it would probably be a dark, grounded remake starring Liam Neeson. And instead of a hockey game, it would be some depressing thing about how he's a broken man who lost his wife to crime or whatever. No thanks. I want my hockey terrorism movies stupid, explosive, and featuring Van Damme punching a giant bird mascot in the face. And that, my friends, is why Sudden Death is a perfect time capsule of 90s action movie glory. They wouldn't make it today. They couldn't make it today, but we will always have 1995. Look, this movie is insane. It's Die Hard on ice. It's Van Damme versus the Penguin. It's 90s action cheese at its absolute best. If you haven't seen it, fix that. If you have, you already know. This movie belongs in the Rewind or Die Hall of Fame. And yes, yes, we have to talk about the damn Penguin fight again. That is cinema. Producer Steve, are you ready for next week's episode?
Do I even want to ask?
Oh, you want to ask. Because it's Demolition Man. That's right, baby. Sylvester Stallone. Wesley Snipes. A dystopian future where every restaurant is Taco Bell. And high fives are done through the power of social distancing.
Oh, no.
This is the most unhinged sci-fi action movie of the 90s, and it somehow predicted modern society. The police are completely useless. Nobody can handle bad words, and people live in fear of saying the wrong thing. It's 2025, Steve.
I mean, kinda?
Exactly. And let's talk about Wesley Snipes as Simon Phoenix. He is having the time of his life. Blonde hair, ridiculous outfits, beating up entire SWAT teams while doing a stand-up routine. He is a cartoon character of pure chaos, and I love it.
At least the action's good.
The action is amazing. We've got Sylvester Stallone freezing and punching people, futuristic weapons that make no sense, and a bizarre underground society led by Dennis Leary, who basically just rants about how much he hates Soylent Tays.
You're going to bring up the three seashells, aren't you?
You're damn right I am, because that is the greatest unanswered mystery in action movie history. Nobody explains it. They just laugh at Sylvester Stallone like he's an idiot. How do they work, Steve? What happened to toilet paper? Did people just figure it out?
We should probably save some of this for the episode.
Because it makes no sense. It haunts me, Steve. I need answers.
Can we just do a normal episode for once?
Never. This movie is peak 90s sci-fi insanity, and we are going to pick it apart like Wesley Snipes dismantling a bunch of future cops who have literally never seen a gun before.
Fine, whatever. Just tell me when to hit record.
Next week on Rewind or Die, the future is a nightmare, and Sylvester Stallone is our only hope.
All right, that's it. Another episode of Rewind or Die. Another movie where Adam tries to convince you this was secretly one of the greatest action films of all time. Did we need two full segments about Jean-Claude Van Damme's tragic backstories? No. Did we get them anyway? Absolutely. Anyway, next episode, sudden death is mercifully behind us, and we're moving on to... checking my notes. Oh, great. Another one of Adam's childhood favorites. Look, if you see Adam in public, do me a favor, yell, "Penguins can't fight," at him. Just yell it. No context, no explanation. Let's see if we can break him before the next episode. Yeah? Yeah? Ugh, I know. Jeff, come on, man. No, I did not pick the movie. You think I have any say in this? I just press record and pray he doesn't go on a 20-minute tangent about Jean-Claude Van Damme's jeans. Look, I know you don't think sudden death qualifies as essential cinema. Yeah, we get it. It's just Die Hard with hockey fights. You done? Jeff, buddy, it's Adam. We just spent 2 hours listening to him analyze a penguin mascot fistfight. You think he's going to pick The Godfather next week? No, I'm not defending him. I'm just saying, you already know how this goes. He picks a movie. He rants about it. You call me after to complain. The cycle repeats. I don't know. Ugh. Oh, so now you want to be a guest again? After all that smack talk? Yeah. Let me just schedule you in between Adam explaining why Time Cop is actually about grief. Okay, look, I gotta go. You want to yell at Adam? Call him yourself. Just be ready, because I guarantee you he's updating sudden death trivia on IMDb right now. Yeah, thought so. Later.
The Kings suck in this game. You should play another team.
I took the Kings to the cup.
Yeah, against the computer with the offsides.
They're off. A finesse team, bro.
They're a fucking bitch team. Score!
Oh! Bitch! You're a fucking bitch!
Watch out, no, motherfucker.
Do not fucking hit my elbow.
It's not even so much me as it's Ronick. He's good.
Oh, is that right?
Elio steals the Ronick.
God, you bitch!
Score, Chicago!
Fuck,
oh,
man.
My
God.
Oh!
That was pretty. Such fucking bullshit.
But that was pretty, Sue. Check this out on the instant replay.
Dude, do not.
You said it was fucking bullshit.
Dude,
check it out. Look at it.
The instant replay.
Look at it.
Yes, it's great shot.
If you weren't playing this, look at it. Look at it.
Come on, I want to see.
Why do you think they put the instant replay in the fucking game? So you can see if it's bullshit.
Man.
Well, you know what? I am unbelievable.
Every goal, you're going to fucking
look at
watch
it.
The instant
just look
replay.
At it.
So you got the game.
Come on, man. I want to fucking
I want
play.
To learn
I
it.
Never get
you
to
should
play.
Practice this when I'm not here.
Just fucking move it.
When I'm not here, will you practice it?
All right.
We'll play some more.
He likes to get scored on.
The game up, man.
Great times.
All right. Yeah.
Better play defense.
Okay, yeah. It's on the fourth floor. The elevator's broken, okay? Dude, it's picked up. Would you buzz him in, hit 9?
I wish they still had fights in this game so I could bitch slap Wayne.
Wait a minute, aren't fighting anymore?
Oh, doesn't that suck?
Why'd they get rid of the fighting? It's the best part of the old version.
I think kids were hitting each other or something, man.
Yeah, but you know what, Mike? You can make their heads bleed on this one.
Make somebody's head bleed.
Well, in playoffs.
I'm gonna make Wayne Gretzky's head bleed for super fan number 99 over here.
Mikey, get the door.
Yeah, give me some money.
Why do I have to give you money?
Give me some fucking money. I'm not paying again.
Jesus Christ. Pause the game.
Dude, I'm about to do my thing with the thing here.
Pause the game.
I got fucking Wayne.
Pause it.
All right, I'll pause it. Jesus Christ. Like you scored all day.
How much do you want?
Just give me some money, man.
Okay, fine. Take my last one here.
Jesus fucking Christ. There it is, Mikey. Check it out. His head's bleeding. Mikey, check it out. His legs. Little Wayne's legs are shaking
fucking
all
bitch.
Over.
Fucking bitch. What are you doing?
Check it out. What are you doing, man? You little fucking bitch.
What the fuck are you? Why didn't you unpause it?
Come on, man.
Come on,
Peaches.
Come on, dude, get the fuck off me.
Come on. You know
dude,
what?
I'm
look
not
at
kidding.
You. Look at you.
I'm not
look
kidding.
Look at you. You want to kiss me. Look at you.
Get the fuck off.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.
Producer Steve hopes you have enjoyed this program.